Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Good morning and welcome to the morning show. As promised, we're going to talk about the great outdoors today and the upcoming gun deer hunt here in Wisconsin. And our friends, our outdoor enthusiasts are here today. John Clare is here, Doug Duren, Dave Barron, and Brock Rosencrantz all here. And they were here a little while ago, but we had so much to talk about. We said, well, let's bring them on back and see if we can find some new things to talk about or rehash what we talked about before. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
Wonderful. And you're here just a few days away from the big... Are you getting nervous? Are you getting fired up?
I'm getting a little fired up. Usually the gun hunt is a good time to spend time in the woods with family and friends, so we're looking forward to it.
What have you heard in terms of numbers this year?
There's a bunch of deer out there. Here in Richland County, I got the numbers from the our wildlife manager who couldn't make it today, and this was post-hunt of last year. Last year, after the hunting season was done, Richland County has an estimate of 55 deer per square mile, which equates to about 32,400 total deer in Richland County. So normally, deer density should be somewhere between 20 and 30. After the hunting season, we had 55. So we have plenty of deer. Lots of targets out there.
No doubt about it. Last year, I can't recall, but it was, what was the weather like last year for the hunt?
I don't remember either last year. I think it was warm.
It was pretty
warm. Last year, of course, it was a warm year all around, but it looks like this year is going to be more seasonal.
I was going to say, it's more, Saturday's forecast anyway is pretty good for opening day, isn't it?
Yeah, and light wind, which is great.
Okay, good deal. So looking at that, then, anything else you wanted to share in terms of numbers or?
And a lot of times here in Richland County, we give out a lot of doe tags, and there's a good reason. Looking at the other numbers from surrounding counties, we have 55 deer per square mile. Sauk County had 43.7, Vernon 53.2, 45.6 in Crawford County, Grant County 29.9. So we are leading the league, for the number of deer per square mile. There was only two counties higher in the entire state. Those were in the 60s, and that was counties like Waupaca County and Marquette County. They had numbers in the 60s. So in our part of the state, Richland County has the highest deer density.
How do they determine that? Is there a turnstile out in the woods or what?
A lot of people think they go one, two. They don't. There's something called the sex age kill model that they use to estimate deer numbers. And it's what they do is they take the number. The sex part is whether you shoot a doe or a buck is harvested. The age is how old they are. Generally, if the population is made up of younger deer, then there's more breeders in the population, and the kill is the number of deer that are killed, and based on the sex, the age, and the kill, they can tell how many deer were there before the season, and then subtracting out the kill, they can tell what the postseason numbers are or estimates are.
That makes sense. Doug, do you want to add something?
I just wanted to say that, first of all, it's like John's a biologist or something. Oh, wait a minute. What did you teach? Oh, yeah.
I think I taught biology.
I think it was PE, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And that's as good of explanation I've heard of SAK ever. So thanks for that. But the other part of it is that it was post-hunt, so that's pre-fawning. So I don't know what. Maybe John knows. What is that add to the population?
Well, 10%? If they add that in, we used to get numbers at our CDAC meetings that were about 64 per square mile. I'm guessing it's at least that after the fawns are born. And generally, a deer, a doe, will have one fawn her first first pregnancy, and after that she has twins. Mm-hmm. On our property, we have one that had triplets this year, of course, and that really skews the numbers up. And in southern Wisconsin, about 50% of the six-month-old does can breed. And so they can breed and produce a fawn sometimes at about a year of age. So their reproductive rate, contrary to popular belief, is pretty good.
Yeah, the deer trustee has been on his Facebook page, or the guy who was the deer trustee from the previous governor's administration, you know, 10, 12 years ago, we did that deer trustee report. He's been touting our fawn, the fecundity of the deer in the four southwest Wisconsin counties that have CWD, and saying that it works. Well, that really tells me that we just have a younger herd. Yeah. Yeah. And yes, we have incredible, our deer have an incredible ability to reproduce. They have all the groceries they want. 80%+ of the county is deer habitat. Great opportunities for them to produce. The question becomes, will they get old?
Dave Barron?
Yeah. One of the things I was thinking about just now is, you know, everybody asks us all the time, why do we give out four doe tags? If we take a doe off the landscape, we actually take off 2 to 3 deer off the landscape. So that's why we push hunting does. That's all I had to say about
yeah.
that.
Yeah, right. And it's higher in this county as far as doe tags than other places, right?
There's a couple others that have 4, I think, and there's a couple that have 3 doe tags. So, but as John said, you know, our population is larger than almost anywhere in the state. And if we need to cut back on the deer herd, taking does is the way to do it.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I learned was, I didn't realize this, but I've seen does with twins, and I thought that was kind of a rare thing, but it evidently is not.
No, that's fairly normal for mm-hmm. an older doe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and their ability to reproduce is just awesome, which is good. And the number of deer that we have here needs to be controlled. And a lot of hunters think that it's the job of the CDAC and the DNR to provide targets. It's not. It's to control the deer herd. And right now, the deer herd is high enough so that we don't have a lot of regeneration of oak trees, which are important and for a lot of wildlife species, including deer, and because the deer love little tiny oak trees. And so we don't get a lot of regeneration there. We need to bring those numbers down for the health of the environment and the health of deer and other wildlife species. And our game managers keep telling us that we need, in order to make an impact, we need to kill about 6,000 does per year, and we're currently killing every year about 3,000. So that has to double in order for us to make to start to make an impact that'll bring the numbers down where they belong.
Indeed. Brock Rosenkranz is here as well. How's it looking in the woods these days? We've had kind of an interesting year in terms of weather with all kinds of rain and then a drought and everything else. How's it looking?
It's been up and down, like you're saying, yeah. But, like, we've all been saying there's a lot of deer around still, a lot of targets this weekend. So, should be a really productive weekend. Saturday is looking like it's going to be a pretty good weather day for opening day. Sometimes, I remember a couple years ago, we had that spit and rain freeze all weekend and numbers were down because of it. So, we should see a pretty good kill rate, harvest rate this weekend, so I'm looking forward to it. Like John was saying, family, friends is what it's all about. That's opening weekends, that is definitely my favorite part of it, coming back to the farmhouse that night and seeing everybody and having a couple drinks.
It's a little later this year, though, as the calendar rolls. Is that going to have an effect on it, Brock, or do you think?
Slightly. And the reason there would be because the rut is just, you're not touching the rut as much possibly, but as we were talking beforehand here, people are still seeing a lot of activity. There's bucks out sparring still, which is fighting and chasing does around. So opening morning, you still should see some bucks chasing around. But once those gunshots start going off, I think everybody knows that kind of changes the game a little bit. So
it does indeed. We wanted to talk about CWD. That's kind of the thing that that we wanted to push that. And you're kind of the expert over here, Doug, I believe.
I don't know if I'm an expert so much, but I certainly have paid attention to it a lot for the last 20 years. I just wanted to follow up on one other comment, and that is since the change in the seasons is in 2011, 2012, so really a decade in this season, what I'm saying is that that's when Wisconsin quit trying to manage deer and CWD, especially in southwest Wisconsin. The tools were taken away from the Department of Natural Resources, and hunters like Ernebuck extended gun seasons, the things where we really make an impact on the herd. That changed then, and so it's really only been a decade since we've seen the changes that we're seeing now. Prior to that, certainly herd was being controlled and the disease was being controlled. But since that time, we could give out, as some of our CDAC members have said, we could drop doe tags from a helicopter and people still are only going to shoot so many. More or less, we kill 3,000 bucks and 3,000 does in Richland County every year. Some areas, we kill more. We shot 47 deer on our farm last year, 40 the year before that. We kill a lot of deer, and we still have a lot of deer, and we still see a lot of deer. But there, because there isn't a comprehensive management program that goes across the county or across southwest Wisconsin, we really don't have a handle on either the population or the control. And as long as we're using really only hunters and hunting to control that population, I think in the last 10 years we've proven that we're not going to do it. So what's happened, two things can be true at once, and this is important, I think, for people to understand, that one, we can have a growing deer herd, and we can also have a high CWD prevalence. Right now in the county, at this time, the number of deer tested, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I do have the percentages. 2024, 39% of the deer that have been tested in the county so far are positive. Last year at this time, it was 30%. And if the trend continues, that's probably where we'll end up again this year, is somewhere in the 35 to 40% of the deer tested being positive. So we've been hearing, we heard at our CDAC meeting complaints north of Ithaca and between Ithaca and Lloyd about from a couple of hunters there who were saying, we're not seeing deer anymore, quit giving out so many doe tags. So we drilled down on that a little bit during our meeting. And so I asked, well, are you guys shooting a lot of does? And they said, no, we haven't shot a doe in a couple of years. So I couldn't understand how, on one hand, and this person said they were representing not just themselves but other neighbors, how on one hand can you not be shooting does and on the other hand not having an increase in deer? And when I pressed him on that, he says, well, maybe CWD has something to do with it. Well, that's that's probably the case. I mean, the anecdotal evidence would tell us that. So if you have a high population, think about it like a forest fire with high fuel. You've got a very thick woods with a lot of, you know, dead, a lot of fuel in it. That fire burns through there very quickly and very hot. And that's what I think we're seeing here in southern Richland County, in especially in pockets where you're seeing fewer and fewer deer. There were a lot of deer there, and now there aren't, and that's kind of what happened. What we're trying to do in where I'm at in the northern part of the county is kind of hold that fire back as much as we can. Last year on our farm, 30% of the deer tested positive of the 47 that we killed, and it was across all of the age classes. But I think it's numbers that I'd like to get across to people is in 2020, 19.5% of the deer tested positive. 2021, 21%. 2022, 27%. 2023, 30%. So far in 2024, we're almost at 40%. So we have a fire that's got a lot of fuel and it's burning. And at some point, there's not much left behind. And this isn't an isolated case talking to this guy and these people who came into the CDAC. I had a fellow by Boaz get a hold of me and talk to me about the same thing. He said, I'd love to shoot a doe. I just haven't seen one. And he also said that nearly every deer he kills tests positive for CWD, and he's at a point where he's, you know, ready to give up. Well, I'm not going anywhere. I mean, all of us are from the county, and we're staying here. So we're trying to do the best that we can. What we're beginning to see is that big bucks are going to become more and more rare. We're still killing and seeing some giant bucks in Richland County. But again, talking to some of these hunters, they're saying, well, a 3.5-year-old is about as old as they get. CWD is an insidious disease. We have it. It's the only mechanism we have to control it and maybe have a chance for a healthier herd, a smaller herd with a better age class, is to control the population. If we don't, the population is going to be controlled by CWD, and it's dropping, but it's going to be a younger herd, and we don't have a hand in it. As hunters, we have the opportunity to have a hand in controlling this disease, and the way to do that is through population control.
Will it ever go away?
It's never going to go away. I never say never, and I just did. Never is a, we don't know what the future is of, that is the other thing. Well, it's in the plants, it's in the ground, it's in the salt licks that people still have out and bait piles that people still have out. I was told this by another hunter who said, my neighbor's got salt licks and bait piles out. And I'm like, well, then why aren't you turning them in? Because it's illegal. Same person said to me, why isn't it illegal to sell that stuff in a CWD area? Well, it's not. You can go into any of the hardware stores, or it's not. It's illegal to use it. It's sort of like, I think, fireworks, right? That you can buy fireworks, but you're not supposed to use them. I don't know. It seems like a real crazy, but I get it, you know. So it's up to us as hunters to have a ethical compass, to think about the future, to think about something more than just our own personal experience. And that's been the frustrating part for me, is that dealing with people who don't. On the other hand, I know so many people who do, and that group is growing, and that gives me hope.
So many want the wall hanger, though. You know, it's a manly thing to shoot the big buck, so that's the other thing, right?
Yeah, well, that's one of the interesting things to me, is that a lot, and I think Brock can speak to this, a lot of the folks that are getting involved with hunting now are much more interested, at least on the front end, right, of honestly obtaining meat. And hunting is that, right? And they're saying, hey, I'm perfectly fine with shooting a doe, because I'm interested in the meat. I'm not worried about the antlers. Now, I've also seen new hunters transform very quickly when the opportunity to kill a buck comes by. And they're like, well, hey, antlers are cool. I'm like, yeah, I know. They are. And I think they're cool, too. And I'm into it. I mean, don't get me wrong. But that's a part of why I want to control CWD, because I want those older age class of deer to be around. You just can't have a big population and have a healthy deer herd. I'm interested in healthy deer management, and from that comes that older age class of deer.
Indeed. People in your age category, because you're the youngest one here, but are you seeing that more and more? They're focusing maybe on the on the does?
Especially with the new hunters, yeah, and even just smaller bucks in general. And there is a new wave. There's a group out there over from the Milwaukee area called Okayest Hunter, and their whole deal is every buck is a shooter buck, you know, no matter the horn. And you can't eat the antlers, you know, stuff like that. So... definitely there has been a shift in it, with myself, and seeing some of my own friends changing their ideals and stuff like that. But there's still gonna, like Doug was saying, there's still gonna be big bucks running around, and a lot of this people kind of forget when we're out here saying to harvest these does due to CWD. Well, that's a positive in two ways too, because then that's just herd health in general. You go back to the QDM days, the quality deer management days, shooting 2 to 3 does for every one buck. I would challenge a lot of bow hunters around here that to shoot 2 to 3 does for that one buck that they kill every year. A lot of them don't do it, and that's all about herd health and sex, age, and age class management with the herd. And that's another big reason to be doing this. So the counties like Sauk County who used to be giving out more tags, and now they're only giving out one tag every year, and a lot of hunters are going, what the heck? Well, it's because people weren't shooting the does, so they took the tags away from them. So it's kind of a use or lose it situation. So the people, if you like having those 4 doe tags, please go out and use them, because people are going to say, see, we're not using them. We don't need to be handing them out. And every year we have to fight for it at the CDAC. Luckily, this year we got 4 again. Next year it might be different. So use those 4 doe tags, or at least 2 of them. or even just one. It's a very important thing for the herd health, and going back to the buck size too. Out at Doug's, where I obviously hunt, we go pretty, not scorched earth, but we shoot a lot of deer out there. And last year I was just shocked at the amount of buck, not only the amount of bucks, but the age class of bucks that were running around. There were some great ones shot. And same with this year. We were flipping through the other day, and I'm like, I think I'm more impressed this year than last year. And there's a ton of deer. 47 deer sounds like a lot, but that's also over about a square mile. So you break that down, that's something like three or four deer for a 40, something like that. And that's what a lot of people do. So we keep up out there. And there's a lot of large parcels around here that people only take three or four off of. So that's what we're trying to set an example for people to actually think about how many does need to come off their property, not just for CWD, but the actual herd health and as a whole itself.
One of the things you wanted to focus on, too, I think, was safety. That's yeah. First and foremost, isn't it, Brock?
Well, safety in a couple different ways. Obviously, not only with your rifles this weekend, because almost all accidents that happen anymore are either self-inflicted or with your own hunting party. And it's usually when reloading or unloading at the truck or something like that. So muzzles up, guys. Fingers off the trigger, always remember that. But then when it comes to CWD and carcass disposal and safe handling, good idea to be always recommended to be wearing long gloves up to your shoulders, like the breeder sleeves, and then a rubber glove over that just to give you some more traction when you're gutting. But then when you're disposing of the deer, please take them to the CWD dumpster sites. And if you're going to use one of the sites, there's a donation boxes. Even if you give a dollar, there's a lot of room for deer in there. We probably fit a few hundred deer in there. It costs $500 for each dumpster. So even if you can give a buck, that'd be amazing, because that really helps out that program. It gives a spot for everybody to take their deer. And then there's usually a kiosk strategically placed near one of those dumpsters. So please use one of those. And then along with that kiosk was that CAS Doe Derby, which Doug can talk more about. But there's tickets in there at each one of the kiosks in Boaz and the Richland Center at the old water treatment plant, and at Casanova at Doug's farm. There's one in Laval, there's one in Reedsburg, and then there's one also in Ithaca that the lovely Mr. Barron manages.
So. How's it going over there anyway, Mr. Barron?
Mr. Barron.
He hates it when I call him.
I didn't know my dad was here.
And, I disagree with the lovely part.
Here we go. We're starting already.
It's 20 minutes in.
The dumpster's doing well.
Okay.
We're about half full. I found out we're lagging behind there. Everybody else is getting dumpsters that are full. The thing that bothers me is our kiosk. We're not getting any heads in there again, you know, and I'm not sure why people out in my area, out in the Ithaca area, don't want to test their deer. I know on our property, which I live in Ithaca, over a 2-month period, I had 5 positive deer within 200 yards of my house. So it's pretty prevalent of CWD in our area. So it would probably help more to have the deer tested. I mean, all you got to do is walk 10 feet to the kiosk and, you know, fill out the form and get a raffle ticket for the Doe Derby, you know, the Casanova Doe Derby. So
it's not that hard.
No, it's not.
And as Brock mentioned, a little donation, too, perhaps.
The Archery Club does 3 dumpsters.
Yes.
Yep. You know, we do Boaz, we use Richland Center, and we use Ithaca. You know, the Archery Club pays for those dumpsters. And John just told me we're replacing, what, 3 dumpsters this week?
Two of them will be switched out for empty dumpsters.
Yeah, because they're full already. So it looked like it's been a very successful bow season so far.
Mm-hmm. I've seen some on cars that look pretty good, so... Absolutely. Tell me about the Doe Derby, Doug.
We should probably change the name, huh? Rather than the Casanova Doe Derby, which is what it started as. What are we in the 4th year now, I think?
4th or 5th.
4th or 5th year. Started out, we were just trying to get more people to go out antlerless hunting during that four-day season, and so I put some prizes together. It's, I guess, one of the benefits of knowing some of the people that I do. And that went over really well, but it was like, wow, we'd really make that big of an impact in terms of numbers, so we expanded it. And now,
matter of fact, in our last time we were on the radio is when we decided to do that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's funny. What great idea will we come up with today?
Yeah, you guys brainstorm during the commercial breaks.
Right, yeah, during the commercial breaks. But, yeah, so now it's expanded, right? So we've got four locations in Richland County and two in Sauk County where you can get your deer tested. It's simple. Your antlerless deer, you can get all of your deer tested there, but your antlerless deer then qualifies you for two tickets to the Richland County Doe Derby. But I guess it's the Richland Sauk. I don't know. We'll have to come up with a new name for next year. You get two tickets, and we'll have a couple of drawings. One is going to be on the 14th of December during the antlerless hunt. We'll have that right at our farm. We have a little gathering there with a bonfire and some food that a friend of ours makes, and you can bring your own drink if you'd like. And some of the prizes that we have, I have a list right here, include... a big Yeti cooler from Can-Am that's Can-Am logoed, Vortex Diamondback binoculars, Savage, probably our biggest prize, is their new Axis rifle with a Vortex scope and a custom sling by our friend Chris Beebe and Chris Crafted. Decked, the company that does the slide-in boxes for your pickup, donated an M80 waterproof storage box. I have one, and it's wonderful. My friend Steve Ranella at Meat Eater sent a complete set of autographed books, so we're going to give that away as a complete set. All of his books, all autographed by Steve. 04 Outdoors, a blind company. A company who makes blinds, I should say. And I-39 Supply over by Portage has donated a window set for those of you who are building your own blind. These windows are great. We have a couple of their blinds, and they're the best windows that I've ever used in a blind. Red Feather Outdoors from La Crosse, which is a great company doing all kinds of wonderful things up there, has donated snowshoes, a tent, and a heavy-duty tarp. The tent and the tarp are military grade. They actually make them for the military. First Light, the clothing company, has given us a $500 gift certificate. And Camp Chef, the grill company, has once again given us a really nice camp grill and some accoutrements that go along with that. It's a lot of stuff.
That's impressive you could say that. That was good. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure I said that. I just liked it.
French or something.
Yeah, I got to hang out with some French Canadians when we were shooting videos for and still photography for a Can-Am, for their Can-Am commercials and stuff. And they have those French accents when you talk to them, and it's very charming.
You picked it up.
Yeah.
I was wondering, you talked about some autographed stuff from the Meat Eater television show. What's a Doug Duren rookie card worth these days? Is it...
oh, my gosh, Phil, you've baffled me, stumped me.
It's the first time in the history of the program you've been silent.
I think they speak English, which is good.
You on a hot seat for a kid.
We'll be back with more in the morning show as we talk about the great outdoors with our buddies here today on WRCO.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
Since 1988, Kinship of Richland County has been matching caring adults with area children ages 5 through 17 who need a little more TLC than they normally receive. After careful screening, volunteers agree to spend at least 1 hour per week for a year with kids who have similar interests. They do things like fishing, baking, and bowling, but the main benefit is the time they spend together. Mentors listen and offer encouragement to help the child discover their own path to a fulfilling future. All that's required is a commitment of time and sincerity. If you're interested in learning more about becoming a volunteer or referring a child, please contact us at 608-475-2886 or email us at kinshiprc@gmail.com. Monetary donations are also welcome and can be mailed to Kinship, P.O. Box 51, Richland Center, Wisconsin. All gifts are tax deductible and greatly appreciated.
And shop our unique selection of one-of-a-kind finds for your home and browse our seasonal decor. Add a pop of color to your Thanksgiving table with a festive floral centerpiece. Order early for best selection. Delivery is available. Call 383-1616. Robin's Nest Country Gifts and Flowers at the corner of Orange and 3rd, Richland Center.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
Good morning. News Time is sponsored by Court and Main Furniture and Mattress, helping you create the home you can't wait to come home to. Today's forecast calls for a high of 41, scattered light snow showers possible, maybe turning to some drizzle and sprinkles by midday. And also for tonight, mostly cloudy and breezy, a low of 35. Right now, winds from the east northeast around 10 miles per hour. It is 28 degrees.
Now through December 3rd, Court and Main and A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet are offering 36 months of equal payments with no interest on qualified purchases when you use your Synchrony Home Card. For this limited time, make your purchase with affordable monthly installments over 3 years with no interest if paid in full within 36 months. Please note, a 2% promotion charge will be applied by the credit card company. Subject to credit approval, minimum monthly payments required. Terms and conditions apply. See store for details. A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet and Court in Maine.
I'm Phil Nee with a look at WRCO News. Mauston school officials say the district may dissolve if residents don't approve a referendum. The school board approved a measure allowing for dissolution on Monday after a pair of spending questions failed in the last two elections. Superintendent Joel Heesch says the district will run out of money when the 2026 school year starts. The board is considering cutting all athletics, field trips, clubs, and closing an elementary school next year just to stay afloat. Mauston is the largest school district in Juneau County, and it's unclear what would happen if the district does indeed fold. Today is the Great American Smokeout. It is held each year on the third Thursday of November. Although cigarette smoking rates have been declining, cigarette smoking remains the most preventable cause of serious illness and death. Smoking and exposure to secondhand smoke cause more than 480,000 deaths in the U.S. every year. Quitting smoking isn't easy. It takes time, a plan. Success may look different for different people. There are many ways to quit smoking, and some work better than others. To have the best chance of quitting and remaining smoke-free, you need to know what you're up against, what your options are, and where to go for help. The American Cancer Society can help you access the resources and support you need to quit. You don't have to stop smoking in one day. Start with day one. The Great American Smokeout can be your day to start your journey toward a smoke-free life. Also in news this morning, state government's projected surplus grows. The Evers administration now projects the state will finish the 2023 through 25 budget with a $4 billion surplus, more than $3.5 billion that had been expected. A first look at projected revenues for the 25-27 state budget shows an additional $644.5 million the first year and just over $382.5 million in the second year, or 2.9% and 1.7% respectively. The new projections set the stage for more disagreement between the Democratic governor and Republicans, who hold a majority in the legislature, over what to do with the surplus. Home prices in Wisconsin continue to increase. The Wisconsin Realtors Association latest monthly real estate report says strong demand and limited supply have maintained pressure on prices. The median home price rose 10.7% over the year from $280,000 to $310,000 in October. A total of 6,282 homes were sold in the state last month, slightly more than in October of 2023, according to the report.
13 projects in rural communities across Wisconsin are getting a $24 million boost in funding, courtesy of the U.S. Department of Ag. Wisconsin Rural Development Director Julie Lassa says the money comes through the Rural Energy for America program, which allows farmers and small businesses in rural communities to either install renewable energy systems or it can be used to help replace energy inefficient equipment. Projects getting funding include several solar arrays and grain drying systems and a dairy manure digester. Since 2021, REAP has invested more than $66 million to projects in Wisconsin since 2021. The man behind the wheel in a drunk driving crash that killed four siblings nearly a year ago will learn his fate on Friday. Dozens of letters to Waupaca County Judge Raymond Huber have requested the maximum sentence for Scott Farmer. He pleaded no contest in August to charges including a fifth OWI and four counts of homicide by intoxicated use of a vehicle. The crash occurred December 16th on Highway 10 in Waiawiga. Fabian, Lillian, and Daniela Gonzalez died at the scene. Older brother Daniel died at a hospital the next day. The siblings ranged in age from 9 to 26 years old. The 48-year-old farmer was driving the wrong way with a blood alcohol content over 0.3.5%. He faces more than 100 years in prison on the vehicular homicide counts alone. Governor Tony Evers today ordered the flags of the United States and the state of Wisconsin to be flown at half staff in recognition of the third anniversary of the 2021 Waukesha Christmas Parade tragedy and to honor the six individuals who were senselessly and tragically killed in the attack. Tamara Durand, 52, Wilhelm Hospel, 81, Jane Coolidge, 52, Leanna Owen, 71, Virginia Sorensen, 79, and Jackson Sparks, age 8. This is International Education Week. It's about expanding horizons, making connections, and establishing mutual understanding between people in the United States and other countries. You are invited to attend a local International Education Week event. The exchange students at Richland Center High School will host International Night tonight, beginning at 6 o'clock in the West Commons and Large Group Instruction Room. Meet the international students, sample some traditional foods, and learn about their countries and their cultures. The event is free and open to all.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
It is a chilly forecast. It is an on-time morning in southwest Wisconsin. There have been a few reports of a little bit of a slippery spot here or there, and even some tracking snow on the ground in parts of our listening area, but none here. Just a trace through the day yesterday and evening hours. For today, a high of 41. Scattered light snow showers this morning could turn to drizzle and sprinkles by midday today. A northwest wind at 15 to 25, gusts to near 40 today. For tonight, mostly cloudy and breezy, patchy drizzle possible early, a low of 35. Friday, mostly cloudy and still a bit breezy, a high of 44. For Saturday and the opening of the gun deer season, 42 for a high, peaks of sunshine, a quiet day with lighter winds. This morning, following the daytime high of 41 yesterday and then mixed precipitation, we were at 29 at midnight. We dropped down to 27, and now we're back up to 29 degrees.
you can join WRCO-FM on Facebook. Get the latest news, sports, and more every day. Visit with our staff, hear about community events, see awesomely funny Throwback Thursday stories, get the latest news, weather, and sports, participate in upcoming Facebook-only contests, and more. Simply go to Facebook.com and search WRCO Radio, or visit Facebook.com/WRCO AM/FM. It's just that easy to connect with us from Facebook.com and WRCO-FM.
Are you experiencing any of the following? Rotator cuff or chronic shoulder pain? Knee pain that won't go away? Maybe even facing a knee replacement? Plantar fasciitis? Foot or ankle pain? Call Benson Chiropractic in Muscadet at 739-9000 to schedule a free consult to see if you are a good candidate to use shockwave therapy. Shockwave therapy is an advanced state-of-the-art therapy that can help you feel better, improve function, and help regenerate tissue. It really could be the miracle you've been looking for. Again, that number is 739-9000 for Benson Chiropractic of Muscadet.
Sports Time is sponsored by Simon's Recreation Complex. Dive into greater community and healthier living. And by the Homesteaders Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Coming up, a look at the high school schedule for tonight. And it was a nice win for the Bucks over the Bulls last night.
LS Tractors are a great tractor at a great price. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteaders Store. The fastest growing tractor line in Wisconsin is LS Tractor, part of the LG group of companies. These high quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors are one of the best values in compact tractors. They have silky smooth hydrostatic transmissions. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of LS tractors to fit your needs. Learn about the full line of LS tractors at Southern Wisconsin Tractor Experts, the Homesteader Store.
High school girls basketball games tonight. It's night number two of scheduled contests, and the games will include New Lisbon and River Valley. That's a 7 o'clock start time tonight. JV action begins at 5:30 at River Valley Schools. We'll have the varsity game on FM 100.9 and WRCO.com this evening. Lafarge Youth Initiative plays at Winnewick Center, Reedsburg at Wisconsin Dells, and Royal at Viroqua, Darlington at Monroe. Ithaca travels to Hillsboro this evening. It's DeSoto at River Ridge, Westby at Sparta, and Riverdale travels to Seneca for its second game of the season. Belleville at Barneveld, Fenimore at Belmont, Boscobel at Benton, Sauk Prairie at Dodgeville, Waseca Steuben at Lancaster, Platteville at Mineral Point, and Clinton travels to Wisconsin Heights. State football today in day number one of the two-day tournament. It's Division 7, 6, 5, and 4. Edgar at 12-1 and Cassville at 13-0. Kick it off. Edgar plays in the state title game for a 15th time, which leads all member schools. Potosi Cassville makes its first appearance in the state final as a co-op program. Before the co-op, Cassville advanced to the championship game four times. The Comets won the Division 6 title in 1982, and they finished runners-up in Division 5 in 1980 and in Division 6 in 1987 and 1993. Potosi, as a standalone program, advanced to the title game once in the program's history. The Chieftains finished runner-up in Division 7 in 2012. In Wednesday night's 122-106 win over the Bulls, the Bucks went on runs of 16 straight points starting in the first quarter and 18-4 to finish the game. That was the second straight win for Milwaukee. Giannis Antetokounmpo at 41, Damian Lillard at a double-double with 20 points and 10 assists. Giannis has scored at least 40 points in 50 NBA games during his career. Brooke Lopez of the Bucks says Giannis took over again.
We're obviously in a fortunate situation where we got not just one guy that can do that, but two guys that can do that any given night. And, you know, obviously Giannis was just the best player on the planet, you know, leading us through that third quarter. And you know, we need him to do that. And he's always been there for us.
The Bucks will host Charlotte on Saturday. College men's basketball last night. River Falls over St. Olaf, 69-50. Oshkosh, 83. Carroll, 64. Platteville, 85. Carthage, 72. Whitewater beat Aurora, Illinois, 75-72. The Badger volleyball team picked up a 3-2 win over rival Minnesota. Injuries to several San Francisco 49ers starters could impact Sunday's game with the Packers. Quarterback Brock Purdy was a limited participant in practice on Wednesday. Defensive end Nick Bosa is sidelined with hip and oblique injuries, and he may be less than 50-50 for the game. Tight end George Kittle missed the last game against Seattle, but should be available this weekend. Like Purdy, he was limited Wednesday, and running back Christian McCaffrey did not practice. Jordan Love asked if this is a game in which the Packers look to get better and maybe look for some revenge.
I don't know. I mean, I think we're a really good offense regardless, but I think obviously just being able to move around, make plays outside of the, you know, on-schedule plays is definitely a big part of our offense, and I think when we can do that, we have more explosive plays that we're capable of, but I think we're a good offense regardless.
The NFL weekend begins with Pittsburgh playing at Cleveland. With sports, I'm Phil Nee. What do you get with a membership to Simon's Recreation Complex? Warm indoor pool, relaxing hot tub, steamy sauna, racquetball, exercise classes, exercise equipment, strength equipment, and lots of help from new friends. Exercise when it works best for you. Simon's Recreation Complex. Welcome back to the morning show on WRCO Radio. The opening day of the gun deer season is coming up Saturday. And John Clare, Doug Duren, Brock Rosenkranz, and Dave Barron joining us here in the studios. Last time they were here, we had Annie McDowell, but I think she got wise, John. And
She's figured out and went to another meeting.
She's probably busy. We'll have Mike Williams and Cody Adams in here on Friday as well to kind of go over some of the specifics and new rules and regulations and whatnot. Brock, as we welcome you back, we want to talk about donations of venison. And I think that's something that always comes up. We get the call here at the radio station from time to time, but what's the latest on that?
So donations have gotten a little funky since that year we all had to stay home. Locker plants have less help now. It costs more to do the work, and so a lot of places have kind of opted out, and so people aren't shooting deer anymore. So we're handing out these four tags, but people say, well, I'm not going to shoot that because I don't have anywhere to put it, even if it is negative for CWD. And so there are places to still that you can go. You can go on the DNR website. There's a list of participating butchers on their website. I know Wisconsin River Meats, Lee up at the meat shop up in Toma, he'll take deer for processing. He actually wants to take 100 this year. Last year he had 44. So if you're willing to make the drive up there to donate some meat to a good cause, or just go out and try and find people in the community to try to donate that meat to. And if you're somebody looking for meat, I know quite a few people. We do a lot of harvesting, as we were saying, out on Doug's farm. So I'll leave my name and contact information at the radio station, but also it's Brock Rosenkranz, and you can email me at brock@deerassociation.com or give me a text or call, leave me a voicemail with your name, just saying that you would like a deer this year. I'll give you a call back. We'll have a conversation, see where you're at, see where we can get you on the list maybe. And my number is 608-475-0751. That's for if you're looking for meat. If you're looking to donate meat, another little incentive is the Cooley branch of the National Deer Association is running a raffle this year where if you donate a deer, no matter if it's to a specified deer donation spot or just private party, you get that deer tested. You will email a separate email. I can pull it up here. And then you'll get entered into a raffle just kind of like the Doe Derby. That email, if you want to register for this raffle, is called thevenisonconnection@gmail.com. Again, we're giving away a lifetime membership to National Deer Association that comes with an engraved rifle, giving away Yetis, binoculars, knives, cooking utensils, stuff like that. A lot of good prizes there, and little sneak insight that there's not a lot of entries yet. So if you enter, you got pretty good odds. So that's a great way if you want to donate, and then it's a little extra incentive. But yeah, that's just, you don't have to eat that deer that you shoot. There are a lot of people out there who are in need of this meat, especially as prices have gone up. Beef is at an all-time high at the store, so getting a family in need that some meat for the winter for the next year could really help you out, help your morale hunting out too. It is a pretty good feeling.
I think about Doug too. Maybe you've got somebody that used to hunt. Maybe they're elderly or they can't anymore. It'd be a great opportunity to help fill someone's freezer, wouldn't it?
Well, exactly. Every deer that we kill on our farm, we test for CWD. So we find out the results. But we've had people who said, I'll take it. And I guess it's important to say this, that if people choose to eat deer without getting it tested, that's their right. That's their choice. If they choose to eat a deer that's got tested and we found out that it was positive, that's also their choice. And I'm not disparaging anybody who wants to do that. There's been no documented cases of the transferable spongiform encephalopathy, the TSC that causes the deer to die, that's a result of CWD transferring to humans like mad cow disease, which was also a TSC. So certainly understand, we should all understand that if people choose to do that, that's fine. On the other hand, if it goes into the venison donation programs that are listed on the DNR site, you can be assured that the meat that you're eating has been tested for CWD and that it came back not detected, which is as close as we can get to non-positive as possible. It's pretty important to understand that. We're and also, if it really comes down to it, at my kiosk, if you've got an extra, if you have a deer that you don't know how to get rid of, if we end up with some, I'll take them to one of the donation centers. Unfortunately, we don't have one here in Richland County anymore. There aren't any in Sauk. I think we were just talking that the closest ones are in Juneau and Monroe County. Mm-hmm. And hey, if the temperatures are good and we have a trailer full of, I have a trailer, we put those carcasses in there, I'll drive them up there. And this is that important to me. The other person that you could talk to about if you're looking for a deer is to call Mike Williams, our warden, and I guess he can talk to you about that on Friday. And if you get your name on that list will get to us. And it is a great opportunity for people to get some really good protein and so.
When I first started hearing about CWD years and years ago, it was like, it was pretty obvious, you know, it's a sickly deer or whatever, but evidently, has that changed over the years? I mean, there's still deer that are sickly looking, but obviously lots that aren't, right?
Well, right. The way they first identified it, I guess, is that there's like, what's wrong? They had been doing what they call surveillance testing or monitoring throughout the state. So it wasn't like, oh, they started testing and that's when it showed up. Well, they had been testing likely deer for some time. And sorry, off the top of my head, I don't know how many years previous to that. And then they did find a sick looking deer down by Mount Horeb. They tested that deer and it tested positive. And that's when actions really started happening. I remember going out opening or that early season when we were able to hunt then, and like we didn't know whether we should even touch the deer or not. You know, it's sort of like, I hate to use the analogy of COVID, but when COVID first started, we didn't, you know, I mean, it's like you weren't supposed to touch anything. You weren't supposed to, and the more we've learned, the more we've understood, right? I mean, that's the thing about science, is that the more data we have, the better we can assess the situation and take appropriate actions. Actually, the vast majority of deer that have CWD aren't going to show the signs, show physical signs that last 6 to 8 weeks of the disease. Understand that from the time that deer contracts the disease to the time it dies, and it's always fatal, it's a 2-year period. It's really the only last 6 to 8 weeks where it begins to show the signs. And some of that, those first signs are, it's just not as bright as it used to be. It's not as wary as it used to be. We killed one of our hunters killed a 5-year-old buck a couple of years ago, and that deer was dumb as a box of rocks. And I'm not disparaging the hunter. Sorry, Chip. but I pulled into where that deer was and saw it and drove within 20 yards of it and just stood there and looked at me. He killed it a few days later. I got out and took pictures, videos, and everything of it. It was just unaware. Well, a buck doesn't get to be 5 years old and be that stupid. And so that's one of the first signs. And then over time, and these deer show up in on my trail cameras, and they show up in the dumpster that are they just look sick. And that's it's a very sad thing when you see that. It's a horrible death that the deer die from this disease.
Dave, did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah, I was in town last week and heading out towards Ithaca on Hazeltine, and I watched a sick deer walk right through town. Yep. I mean, it took him like a minute and a half to walk across Hazeltine. And so we called the police department, and they came out, and they said, well, we can't shoot him in town. So it ended up on somebody's front porch. So you can tell when they're sick.
Yeah.
Sad part is a lot of times they'll test positive, but they look completely healthy.
Yeah.
A few years ago, I helped a friend haul one out of the woods that he shot one of the first days of the bow season, and dragging it downhill almost killed both of us. It was such a big, healthy deer, and it tested positive. So
even the healthy ones can give you signs that they're positive as well when you're skinning them out. If you see hardly any fat, especially on a doe buck, it might be fairly common, especially this time of year, to not see a lot of fat post-rut. But if you see shoot a doe, especially a larger sized one, and she's absent of fat, pretty good sign that those were the first stages that she was about to first signs that she was about to be showing stages CWD, and that she'll come back positive. And that's also why it's really important to just be observant of the deer before you shoot it. I shot a doe last year opening day that before I harvested her, I could see her ribs. Afterwards, before I gutted her, after I gutted her, got her back to the farm, everything, you would have never known anything was wrong with her. But since I noticed right beforehand, I was like, this one, let's keep this one aside. Probably going to be a little iffy. She came back positive, of course. Same thing with my buck that I shot last year. Once we got up to it, I was kind of looking at it. Spine looked a little thin, a little extra thin than post-rut. Kept him to the side. Of course, he came back positive. So always just kind of, even if you're like, oh, no, that one's healthy, or oh, he's just a little thin from the rut, just keep those things in mind, because those are very good indicators that deer may be positive for chronic wasting disease.
Do does pass it on to their fawns too?
Absolutely. So since CWD is passed through saliva, mainly once the doe has their fawn, what's she going to do with it? She's going to clean it up. So kind of fawn is pretty much doomed from day one if its mother's positive. And we are harvesting fawns, half-year-old deer, six-month-old deer that are positive. It's about like a 5 to 10% rate, so fairly low, but it's there.
Dave?
Yeah, you know, we're pushing everybody to get their deer tested, and one of the complaints we heard is it takes so long to get your test back. Well, the state has got more testing facilities now, and it takes what?
So 7 to 8 days.
7 to 8 days to get your result back. So, you know, you don't have an excuse. You know, I don't have to keep this deer hanging for a month. So,
yeah, I have. I'm quick to complain about the DNR if it's warranted. But in this case, it's not. I hear a lot of those complaints too. Why does it take so long? Well, I know other states where it takes weeks and even months to get the results back. Wisconsin DNR and the UW testing lab do a great job of getting results back. What hunters do need to understand is that, especially early in the season, if you drop it in a kiosk around here, those deer only get picked up once a week. So if you put it in there on, you know, Wednesday, it doesn't get picked up again until the following Tuesday, and then it goes to the lab, and then by the time it gets in the queue, it might take a couple of weeks. And that's just the way it is. A little patience goes a long ways, and I know it's a drag to try to, what do I do with this deer in the meantime? I would suggest that you break it down as much as you can. If you've got a walk-in cooler or know somebody who does, and you start asking around, you might be surprised at how many of your neighbors got one of those things. But, you know, you can break it down into the bigger muscle groups and either freeze it or let it hang or however you want to do that, and wait to find out. I know it's really a drag if you pay somebody like the Richland Locker to process it for you, and then you find out that it's positive and you've just put that money away, or you just spent that money, and if you're going to throw it away, you might hesitate to do that. Entirely up to you. I think if you're making that kind of decision to have a deer processed, think about the ramifications of that. As my dad used to say, what'd you think was going to happen? I learned a lot from that. I didn't only beginning to realize that now. When he said that,
that's a indicator of how many stupid things you did.
Yes. Well, I did learn those lessons. The other thing I wanted to say about CWD is that, understand, once that deer contracts that disease, at a point pretty quickly thereafter, it's now casting off the prions and can infect other deer. So it doesn't have to be in those last stages to be sharing that disease with other deer. So during that two-year period of time, it's casting off those prions. As Brock said, the most direct way that deer contract CWD is the nose-to-nose and saliva contact. People are like, oh, it's in the ground now, and it's in the